At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Jordi, Messi, Jordi, el centro, Messi!
Messi Anko, Breaking Major League en la Ciudad del Sol. Here in Miami, we know who's el campeón. Leo, my team, yeah. Suárez on the field, Alice wedding day team. Con mis fechas un win, the trio five singing muchachos. Las familias se escuchan los barrios. Esta camiseta pinky la llevan todos los guachos. Los rookies quedan sin comentarios. Messi ambetea, tiki taki gol. El estadio Chase bañado en lloro y sudor. Aquí se ama y se respeta el balón. Florida es tu casa, acostúmbrate al calor. Estate listo pa' Messi Anko. Estate listo pa' Messi Anko.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Messi and Co. Midweek edition, technically, but it's early in the week edition. I'm Ashley here, as always, with my incredible co-hosts, Gian and Matt. And, excuse me, we have what I would say was a very difficult, interesting week of Inter Miami soccer after what was obviously a blazing start. The last two matches, probably not what we had envisioned would happen. A lot to talk about. But, you know, before we get into all of that good stuff, just how are we? Happy Monday.
Happy.
Is Monday. It a happy Monday? I don't know.
Yeah. It's, no.
Wait,
Monday's the new Wednesday. What was it?
That you, I said like Monday was the new Friday, but I take that all back. I take that back. It's a tough week. It's a tough week to be a Miami fan. I mean, a loss and a draw is not ideal after, you know, just being on fire since even the preseason. And but no, I mean, I don't know. We're going to talk about it all now, but I mean, no, it's been very, very rough.
Yeah, this sucks, man. Yes. It really does.
Yeah.
Like, we were flying high, and then all of a sudden 2 weeks just completely changes it and just goes downhill.
That's sports though, right?
Two games rather, but yeah, I mean, there's still hope in there, but I'm happy, man. It's Monday, it's a new week. Goals that we got to get, you know, we all have stuff to do this week. We all got things that we got to get done.
Literal goals.
I'm always happy to talk to
you, man. Literal goals.
We got a game coming up on Wednesday. That's going to be hopefully a lot of fun. So it's just, there's so much Inter Miami coming up, coming at us, that it's just so much to talk about, man.
Yeah, agreed. I think I don't want to say we all saw it coming, because I didn't see the result coming last Wednesday. We had an unbeaten streak. We were playing really well. You know, we had with and without Messi. We were still performing well, had some great games. Early adversity kind of felt like we were, you know, just deep and really consistent coming into form. But then we'll start with Wednesday. Last Wednesday at 11:30 at night star time, which was difficult to say the least. Inter Miami lost 1-0 to LAFC in the CONCACAF Champions Cup quarterfinal first round, in what was absolutely a controversial match and a controversial decision that literally led to the goal. Not to say another person couldn't have scored, or, you know, the match in general, I would say Inter Miami wasn't at their best, but another instance, in my opinion, of just like this weird, you know, we already disagree on this point, I think, a little bit, Gian, about just like the, what I consider to be just like an anti-Inter Miami bias this year, where I just am feeling that across all competitions, like, you know, not MLS specific, but just in general, the referee and the officiating performances are just not giving Inter Miami any benefits of any doubt. I think it's affecting the players at this point. Again, it's not an excuse. I think, you know, the performances need to improve 100%, but all of this to say, you know, the first talking point, which is that in the 19th minute, maybe, I think it was, or for first 20 minutes for sure, Nathan Ordaz from LAFC got into a little bit of a scuffle with Maxi Falcón, and I'm sure somewhat provoked, you know, defenders with strikers are trying to always, you know, make their stamp early in the game, try and have control, not let the runs happen. But they got into a scuffle, and as you saw in the replay, you know, Ordaz got frustrated. Young kid had a frustrating moment, and he elbowed and basically swung at Maxi Falcón to his face area to try and stave him off. And it went to VAR, and I think we all were thinking red card, you know, young kid made a stupid mistake, tension, heat of the moment, all that stuff. Because I'll tell you this right now, if this was reversed and it was Maxi Falcón, it would have been a red card. And then I'd bet all the money in China on that. That expression, maybe I shouldn't use it anymore. all my money in the world, I would bet that would be a red card for any other player on Inter Miami. But it wasn't. He was called a yellow. He ended up scoring in the second half. Inter Miami players upset. Yeah, I know I said a lot, but where are we feeling with one that call, how it affected the game, and was that an excuse for Inter Miami's, you know, in the end, lackluster performance?
It definitely is very frustrating, I think, for Inter Miami. I disagree with you in the sense of that it's an anti-Miami bias, because that would signify that they're purposely trying to harm Inter Miami with every decision that they make on the field. So that's, I think, the only maybe disagreement I have with that. But I do think, and we've spoken about it before, that there is seemingly the approach that they're going to not give Inter Miami favoritism or try to show that they're as far away from Inter Miami favoritism as possible, but that somehow swung the pendulum actually in the wrong direction too much, where they're now is they're hurting Inter Miami, where they're making decisions that they probably wouldn't make for other teams. We've seen cards that were very difficult for Inter Miami from an understanding standpoint. Like, how are we getting these red cards? These don't look like red cards. Then another team goes and does the same thing, and they're not getting the red card. So I think it's really tough for a team to kind of figure out, you know, how do we fix this issue? And it's just so inconsistent across the board. That foul with Ordaz, I mean, it looked like a 1-2 combo from Karate Kid. Like, it looked like he made contact twice. Like, if you, Ordaz, if it doesn't work out in MLS, he has to go to UFC, because that was, you know, it looked really good on camera.
There's no reason. I can't believe it wasn't red card. Like, yeah.
I heard the new Karate Kid movie. They're still casting.
Karate Kid. So, yeah, it was tough. That kid shouldn't have been in the game. I'm not one to when I'm watching a game, I hate, even if it's against my or it's going to favor my team, I don't like seeing red cards, because at the end of the day, I'm watching also because I love football and I want to see a good product on the field. So I don't generally like to see those things. But some of these things are just so blatant, and this was very blatant to me. And the fact that he was called to review on VAR, so they saw something there that probably warranted a red. And for him to see that, he saw it at first person, then he goes and sees it in slow motion. And I'm sure there were people involved telling him this should be a red card. And for him not to get that card, I thought that was pretty nuts. And then just to add insult to injury, Ordaz ends up scoring when he shouldn't have been on the pitch. And look, no excuses. Whether that was a yellow card, a red card, whether it was nothing, at the end of the day, that's not why they lost. Right. There's a lot of things. I'll let Matt chime in on that play. But we can probably touch on many other reasons why Inter Miami lost that game. That wasn't one of them.
Yeah.
And I completely agree. I was trying also very hard to be okay with the decision in the moment. Like, when he first gave the yellow, I was like, okay, like, maybe it's something that we missed. Maybe in the replay, maybe it was accidental. Maybe the force wasn't that high. But then, like, when you look back at it, it's like, there's really no justifying this decision. It's just the wrong decision. And ultimately, it takes one bad decision to completely, you know, change the game. Yeah. If there was a red card here, I'm not saying we would have won, but we would have at least, just to say, they wouldn't have scored. It would have been a 0-0 tie. This or Das wouldn't have been the goal scorer. We probably would have ended at 0-0, and this would have completely changed the game. I don't even know like how when VAR, he literally elbowed him. Like I don't know what else to say. Like Ordaz literally elbowed. He tried to get Maxi Falcón off of him. He elbowed him and literally smacked him in the face afterwards. Whether it was intentional or not, like in no moment in this sport, in no possibility, in no alternative reality, an elbow to the face justified as a yellow card.
Yeah,
never. But like what Gian said, it's not an excuse to say that, you know, that we should have won. We still played poorly. Inter Miami should have. That was probably the poorest game that we've played all season, and it doesn't justify it. But at the end of the day, there is something that it needs to be. I don't know. Like there needs to be some sort of meeting where the referees need to come together and be like, hey, like we gotta all come to an agreement on how to make certain decisions in certain ways, because we all can't keep doing this.
I think it also it like weighs on the players. Like, you know, it's no excuse, and that's all true. But when you feel like you're playing, you know, against a 12th man, it makes a difference. And again, I agree that in the end, you know, whether it was rotation, whether it was just the performance tactically, it wasn't working for Inter Miami. Did not deserve to win. I wouldn't say they deserved to lose, but I would say they did not deserve to win. I think what happened in the middle, like I said, is kind of out of their control, and it's, you know, it's disheartening, I think, as a player when you're seeing these continuously happen. Hopefully it won't, you know, I mean, I'm hoping Inter Miami come Wednesday and, you know, take this pent up frustration and anger and, you know, show the quality and show the passion that they all have and get a result and we move on. But it was, I think it's worth us discussing because it was just such a blatant no call. And I truly believe if it was any Inter Miami player, like if Luis Suarez was the person was the striker and the defender got hit like that, he would be sent off. And I 100%, like 100 times out of 100, he would have been sent off. And so that's just what I think frustrates people. But it's over and done with now, and all Inter Miami can do is prepare for this second leg where they will need to score two goals, but it's at home, Chase Stadium. Obviously, I think it's going to be a very intense atmosphere, big game, you know, need to win in order to advance, to the semifinals of the Champions Cup and, you know, get their hopefully first trophy of the season. So it's a super big game to what I think is going to dictate, you know, a lot of the next few weeks. And this is the first real, real, real test. And are the players as a coach up for it?
It's definitely going to be tough, but this team, I mean, this is what they built this team for Champions Cup, for MLS Cup. Like the team is still, I believe, and I consider them to be the best team in MLS right now. And there's the only thing that I would say is that concerns me is this team, where I think their strength was last season, as far as, like, you know, defense, offense, they were an offensive powerhouse last season. And really this season, they're not. This season, it's like the roles kind of reversed, where we were very finicky on the defensive end and there were a lot of questions and a lot of holes on defense. Like, that's not the case this season. If we really look back at our games as of late, Inter Miami, I think, has only allowed about like one goal almost throughout most of the games, if I'm not mistaken. I'm just looking back right now at our last few
games. We've conceded six goals in six games in the MLS. Yeah.
Like, the defense is locked in. You know, we look at Falcón and Noah, probably our best two defenders, in my opinion. With Ian Frey, defense became even better. Jordi Alba doing amazing as well. When you've got guys like Bright taking another step up, playing alongside Busquets, this defense is like the wall of China. Like, you can't get past it. But now we look at the offense on the other side of that. It's been a different story. Like, if you look at this, we scored one against Toronto, zero against LAFC, two against Philadelphia, two against Atlanta, two against Cavalier at Chase Stadium, where how do you only scoring two against Cavalier at Chase Stadium? Like, we haven't scored more than two goals, I think, maybe once. Yeah.
Houston, right?
No, yeah, we
scored Houston and I think
City and four against Houston. Other than that, guys, we've been scoring two goals, one goal. Like, this isn't the Inter Miami offense from last season, which is strange. You brought in Tadeo Allende. I know Tadeo missed a couple of games here, but you brought in Tadeo Allende. You brought in Telasco, that people were raving about, that Telasco was better than Diego Gomez. He played one game and he was already better than Diego Gomez. Like, I think that's too soon. Telasco's good. But this team is just not as good as it was or it should be on offense. And I think that we look at this game against Toronto, guys, 22 shots and we only scored one goal. Like, come on. That's worrisome going against a LA side that you have to beat by at least two goals.
And you know they're going to be in a low block the whole game. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you have to, you didn't score any away goals and you have to win by at least two. This can get ugly. So I don't know. I look at this team. Suarez is okay. He's the leader in assists for us, but he isn't looking the best. He's looking slower. He's looking older. And this team doesn't have speed. I think that, and the two guys that we have probably have the most speed on this team are on the bench, which are Robert Taylor and Fafa Picoult. So this team's looking slow and not good on offense. I'm worried against LA.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I put out we'll also talk about the Toronto game. I think,
yeah,
Matt, you said it clearly before we started. It was just, it was a dud of a game. You know, there were some moments of intensity. And I mean, I think, you know, obviously we're biased. I'm biased. But when Lionel Messi at, 37, 38 years old, coming back from injury, is the player on your team that is playing with the most passion and desire, that's a problem. Because, like, you know, this is a team full of young, exciting players and who have been stepping up, but he was the only one with the pulse last night, it felt like, for most of that game. And I mean, when he scored the goal that did count at the very end of the first half, I mean, he celebrated like it was a World Cup final goal. I couldn't believe, like, you know, he just so much passion, and then at the end of the game, you're so frustrated. You want to see that out of everyone, and you're not, and that is what is a little bit worrying. Luis Suarez it's interesting because at this exact time last year, you know, we were having similar conversations, but the difference was he was still scoring. He was, even if it was, you know, slow or having his, you know, tiresome issues, not, you know, being able to make the runs, he was still scoring when he got the ball in the box and had a chance. We've now seen in the last three games a handful of really, really bad misses, if we're being honest, where it was open goals and he couldn't get his feet and he couldn't get that final thing. And that is really what you have kept Luis Suarez for, is because other aspects of his game has slowed, understandably, but his scoring hasn't. And his, you know, his deathly, like, the precision to be a goal scorer that if you sniff the goal, you're scoring it.
He's got eight shots in his last three games, and he has no goals.
Two of them were open.
That's a crazy statistic.
Two of them were empty nets. Yeah. Two of them were empty nets.
Yeah. So eight shots. He got one assist and one goal in one, two, three, four in five games. One goal and an assist. I mean, maybe you think one goal and one assist in five games, but if that's not what you see on the pitch, like, it should be more based off of the chances that he's getting.
Oh, and for sure.
He's just not being clinical, like you said, Ash. He's not finishing things that he was finishing last season.
Because I think that's what makes it a little bit worse, right? Because we also hold this team to a very high standard, as we should. We have a lot of superstar players. We're one of the best, if not the best team in the MLS. So, like, that threshold is very, very high up there. So, I mean, like, probably in any other team, it would be okay. But I think with the opportunities that have been presented to, and I'm not a person that, I don't like the Luis Suarez hate. I don't like, you know, blaming or like saying that he's old, his knees are out, his whatever, because at the end of the day, he's one of the best strikers in probably his generation and our generation.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the day, he's had a lot. Like he has had a lot of opportunities in front of that net, especially yesterday again and Wednesday against LAFC, where he would just blatantly miss weak shots, inaccurate shots. It's off his footing. He would be caught off his footing most of the time. It's like that's not the Luis Suarez that we're used to seeing. And so that's what gets me worried, is that I don't know that we're in this funk where I don't know what happened. I don't know what shifted between, you know, like 3-4 games ago and now, but something's happened where we're not seeing Suarez being the Suarez that we're normally seeing. We're not seeing the Telasco Segovia that we're used to seeing. We're not used to seeing any of these guys. The only guys we're seeing on the field that are playing proper football right now is Messi, Busi, and Jordi. Those are the only three guys that are playing football right now.
Yeah, it was agreed. I think Segovia has had a drop. And again, he's very young. I think he's 20 years old, right? He's, you know, first MLS season. He started with such a bang.
He was hot.
I think what you said, I agree with. Like, okay, I think there's a difference between, you know, coming down on a player difficult or just criticizing the things that need to be criticized, because that's what we mm-hmm. do, right? We're here mm-hmm. to report on that type of stuff. And when the yep. player does well, you got to give him the praise. And when he doesn't do good, you got to criticize with, you know, with respect. And I think that with Luis Suarez, 100%, he is a guy that is a historic figure. He has been come up huge for Inter Miami many times, but he is in a slump. And I think all players mm-hmm. go through slumps. But the difficult part is here, his slump, I think, is affecting Inter Miami more, because where is Inter Miami having the most issues right now? It's not in the defense, right? It's scoring. And this season is still so early. I think that, okay, whatever, a player can get through a slump. We're not telling you to bench him, but you also, it's not just about the MLS season. You have Champions Cup. Cup is not, it's you're either you're in or out. And right now you didn't score on the first leg and you've got to come back and score two. That's where the criticism comes from. That's where the worry comes from. This guy's in a slump, not at the best time, not in Champions Cup. And the worrisome part is you got Tadeo Allende. We're yet to see if he's going to be available. He's the other guy that can take the scoring from Luis Suarez. But then also you have Allen Obando, who's 18 years old. How much pressure can you put on the kid?
Yeah,
he just came in.
I got a lot of positives out of him last night, for sure. A lot of excitement.
Yeah, but he's so young too. You can't be like, you know, oh, Suarez is not doing good. Oh, Allen Obando's got like the quick cure all solution. That's not realistic either. Well, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, he's gonna do amazing for us. But you can't put all of that on an 18-year-old kid. So really, what is the solution for this? It's gonna be up to Mascherano to figure out what he's got to do, what he's got to tinker with, and really up to Luis Suarez to get back to his goal scoring form.
Yeah, agreed. I think right now, I said it yesterday too, Gian, I'm like, Luis Suarez is in his own head bad right now. And I mean, it happens to strikers all the time. But to your point, if this was just a regular early season, you know, he's done so much for the game, obviously has his moments, like you it's okay. We'll figure it out. We have a lot of season to go, but this is now knockout, you know, Champions Cup, where you cannot make that kind of, you don't have that flexibility. But I believe in Luis Suarez and Messi enough that I think they will turn it on to as much as they can on Wednesday. And now it's just going to be a matter of, can everyone else get there with him? I think I'm hoping if Tadeo Allende is not available because of injury, I really hope Fafa gets to start, because even though in the second half yesterday, I know he had a couple, couldn't get that final ball or whatever the case may be, he offers, in my opinion, so much pace and creativity, and worries the defense. Like, I felt like Robert Taylor was a non-factor in the first half yesterday. I think Fafa creates danger more, and that's what you need. You know, it's a numbers game. Even though it took, you know, 22 and only got one goal yesterday, if we're from minute one having, you know, that pace and that nervousness, right, for the defense, that's when you hope to see the goals start to go in and the moments start to happen. I thought yesterday also, I mean, I thought Lujan and Aviles were fine in coming in, and I thought they did a good job. To your point, Gian, I really do not think defense is the issue. I think it's that front six creative, and I wouldn't even consider, you know, whether it's a Redondo or a Bright, like, that's, I wouldn't consider that part. Like, those five, right? Your three, your three attacking players, and then Busquets and Segovia are the ones where like that those five have to be able to be creating more. And, you know, it's just a matter of if they will.
Yeah, well, creativity is the one part that I think has lacked more than anything. I mean, obviously, when the ball's in Messi's hand, in his, not his hands, but his feet, rather, he can create magic out of nothing. But a lot of the other players, I think, need to step up. Velasco, who was showing a lot earlier on in the season, up to the last few games, was a guy that, when Messi wasn't around, was creating and was distributing the ball. I think he's kind of slowed down on that. Busquets, I'd like to see more out of Busquets. Busquets,
who won't be playing on Wednesday, by the way.
Yeah, which is a tough part also, which is another hurdle. So who's going to be? Obviously, it'll probably be Redondo
and Bright.
So yeah. Redondo's going to have to take a big step up there. Redondo, I'm not sure how much we're going to get into the Toronto game, but against Toronto, Redondo didn't have the best first half. He second half, he came alive a little bit more, but still nothing, you know, amazing yet. I what I would expect out of Redondo. So he's got some big shoes to fill for Busquets. But look, if I can pinpoint one thing that I guess I want to see against LAFC, it's, dude, play the ball forward, man. Play the ball forward. Too many times, especially against LAFC that first game, you break a line, and instead of going forward, they go and put the ball right back to square one. And it was annoying. That happened many times. I mean, you guys got to play the ball forward. You already did the tough part. Busquets broke that line, and they already, you know, they already got past LAFC's midfield. They also stopped force feeding Messi. Yeah. I saw that too many times. The ball to Messi was not the best play. It was not. And then they just completely tear. So if, I think those are probably the two things I want to see: is break a line, play it forward. Don't force the ball to Messi, and this team will probably look a bit better than they did.
I'm actually thinking, who will those midfield three be? Because if you're going to have either Fafa, Robert Taylor, or Allende, let's say, and then you have Suarez. I guess it's going to be right. That's going to be such a young, having Bright and Redondo, it's so young. And maybe you switch one of those for Kramaski. It's tough. It's going to be a really, really big battle that Inter Miami are going to have to win early with that midfield.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's, I'm trying to think of another way, but this is the team, like this is our team. And if we compare it with the first leg and even against Toronto, we have to not be so sloppy. We have to be precise with every movement, every action that we take. We need to be able to adapt to the situation. This was an LAFC team that were quite literally playing so narrow, so tight. Like their formation literally looked like a straight line at certain times, depending on like what time of the game that you saw it. They were forcing us out wide, and we didn't take it a single time. That's something that has to change going into Wednesday. We need to be able to adapt to what the game presents. If they want us to, if we can spread them out, let's spread them out, and then we'll look for half spaces. If we need to control the game, control the midfield, let's control, like, I don't know, like whatever, we need more adaptability and like what you need, not force it into.
That's where you need speed from, either like from
Fafa, for example. That's where Fafa is supposed to come.
We don't have speed going down the flanks. Like Ian Frey is great, but he's not the fastest. And on top of that, the way he plays, he's not. Jordi Alba is the back that goes all the way up. The other three always stay behind, so we don't even have an attack on that side.
Yeah,
talk about that. Telasco is not fast. Suarez is not, he's the opposite of fast. Messi just takes his time, controls the ball, surveys. Who's the fast player in our team? Because it's funny.
It's Allende or Fafa. I mean, yeah. And Robert Taylor too, but I don't trust, right now I don't trust Robert Taylor to make the right final pass and creation on that side, even though if he has the speed, like, you know, I don't know. We'll see. This is a big Mascherano game, right? This would be a really big test to see, like, you know, not just choosing your lineups and you know, again, refereeing, some things are out of his control, no doubt, but picking not only the right rotation, the right lineup, but getting your players to play the right way and get the best out of them, making sure they understand that they have to be more attack-minded, that they have to be able to go on the offense, that they have to create these goals, you know, that mental hurdle that he's going to do. And this is something I wanted to bring up. Which goalkeeper is he going to be choosing? Because, you know, for that first goal, we didn't talk about it in the goal last week against LAFC. I think it's tough. You know, hindsight's 20/20. I will say, I think Ostari probably could have done a little better on it. Not, you never know. But in that moment, his positioning and his speed reflexes weren't there for that. Would Drake...
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Allender make the exact save? No way to know for sure. But I think Ustari could have done better. Maybe still dealing a little bit with that leg pain. Drake yesterday, in my opinion, obviously goal withstanding. I thought he played pretty well. I thought he was, you know, he showed that speed. The youth made some better passes. But Ustari really hasn't done much, I'd say, to say he should lose his spot completely. But again, you know, that's what I'm asking you. Who do you think should be the starting goalkeeper for tomorrow's game?
I'm really glad that you brought that up because I completely forgot about how they scored their goal, how Arda scored, and then obviously how they scored yesterday. But I completely forgot, so I'm really glad that you brought this up. For Ustari, that is his, like, downside to his game. We all love how aggressive he gets. We all love how much he likes to take a risk, and he's very accurate when it comes to that. When he takes the risk, he's most of the time he's successful at it. But then I feel like he doesn't know when to not take those risks. Like, I feel like he's just always constantly getting off his line, trying to push the forward, trying to, you know, show his presence. But then, like, he'll just forget to just stay on his line sometimes. Sometimes, like, it's okay to just stay by the near post. Like, that was a complete Ustari mistake in the Ordaz goal. He was off his line. He was the near post. Like, the near post is right there. Just stay by it. He would have caught it. And so that's where the downside to his game, in my opinion, is. For Drake, I think it's the opposite. I think his positioning is very good. I think his distribution is pretty good at certain moments. In certain times, it's not. But, you know, it's kind of – it is what it is. He doesn't have that risk factor, the sweeper-keeper factor that Ustari has. But he's more secure. He's more he knows where to position himself, and he could be pretty reliable. I thought he did his job yesterday against Toronto. Besides the goal, I mean, like I know it was a weird goal to concede. I think he still had two defenders surrounding him.
Yeah, hard to blame on Drake.
When you know what I'm saying? And then like he just did like a tuck, like he chipped it with like the corner of his foot, and then it went to the other side. So it's like it's hard.
Yeah, that was on the defense.
Yeah, so I mean, that was just the defensive thing in general. So I thought Drake did fine yesterday. So honestly, like you said, Ashley, and I'll wrap it up like this, like it's very difficult to bench Ustari based off that. But like I said, if that's something that, in my opinion, I think that's something that's going to be a little bit too risky. Because if LAFC catches us off guard for even just a split second and Ustari's off his line, we're just going to keep conceding goals like that. And I wouldn't want that to happen. I'd still probably start Ustari just because he has been playing and Drake has not been, I guess, like his sharpness is not up. He's not in form or whatever. He hasn't gotten a lot of minutes this season. I'd still play Ustari. But it's just something to consider to just kind of watch out for both keepers.
I mean, for as much risk that he takes, he's only allowed 4 goals in the last 7 games. So at the end of the day, I think it's worth the risk because I feel like the plays that he makes, his ability to play the ball and to transition and all that sort of thing is more of a benefit to us than anything else. Something that Drake Callender doesn't necessarily bring to us. Mm-hmm. Feel safer when we're playing out of the back with Ustari. So I would still go with Ustari. And just to what Matt said, just him just having more consistency and having more playing time, I don't think you stick Drake Callender, who's just coming back from an adductor injury, right into a knockout game. Like
this is a final. We're playing a final, essentially.
Yeah. So I got to agree with that. I don't think it's that. Right now, you've got really two starting caliber goalkeepers, which is huge for any mm-hmm. team. So we'll see what happens down the line. But if we're just strictly talking about Wednesday night's game, it's got to be Ustari. Risk and all, guy's been really good. And the one thing we need help with right now is offense. The defense hasn't been an issue, so we need a guy that can really step in and help us transition into offense as soon as possible, mm-hmm. put in those passes, help us build out, and that's going to be Ustari for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think so, too. I would say, you know, if Drake did start, I wouldn't be like, oh, my God, like, that's the worst decision Mascherano's ever going to make. Like, you know, the team's screwed. Like, I think it's maybe, you know, things are cooking that we don't know about. But I agree. I think it should and probably will be Ustari. But, yeah, it's an interesting point. I agree. It's very far, though, down on the list of, I'd say, issues and yeah. priorities for Wednesday's game. But it was worth mentioning. I will be curious to see what the back four looks like, because this is, you know, for yesterday, Ian Frey, I don't think had a great first half for his standards because I think he's, you know, outstanding. I don't think he had a great first half, but Ancelo came in the second half. I even watched that. I'm like, I want Ian Frey every time. Mm-hmm. So hopefully Ian Frey gets the nod. He didn't get the nod Wednesday. So, which was interesting. They had Luhan at right back. And so
I still don't agree with that.
I don't agree with it either. I don't know why he did that. I don't like that either. I think we'll have to see. If it's Cello starting, that will.
I mean, Ian Frey, I wouldn't fault Ian Frey that much. He had his hands full. Like,
he did have his hands full. That's why I said he has a very high expectation.
I'm probably going to mispronounce his name.
The striker?
Number seven. Yeah, dude.
He was playing
out wide, like almost on the outside of the field. Like, he was on that line with Ian Frey the entirety of the game. And it was just, he was fast as heck. He was really good on the ball. And they were constantly looking for him on every play. Ian Frey, I mean.
But he's going to have Dennis Bouanga against him on Wednesday, which
is then it was good worse. Practice. It's like, and we'll have to see if it's going to be Bouanga still. It depends who, if Giroud comes in, or if their other forward comes in, or their other winger comes in, and he maybe Bouanga switches back to the nine. We'll have to see. But regardless, it was really good practice, and I feel like Ian Frey did fairly well. He didn't let probably the most the most dangerous player on that team score, right?
Yeah, true.
I hope it's Ian Frey. He locks it down. I hope so too.
But I'm just saying, you know, based on the rotation, what we see, I think the only thing I know for sure is that it's going to be it's going to be Jordi Alba, and I think Maxi Falcón. I think those two are guaranteed for Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the other two. I think it could be.
I think it's Falcón and Noah.
What?
I feel like, I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but I feel like Mascherano is inkling a little bit towards Noah more than Aviles.
Do you feel that too? Yesterday I thought Aviles played really well, and we disagreed on the point, Gian. I didn't think Noah Allen played that great last Wednesday, and that was, you know, again, it's just opinions. We all feel differently. I think the good thing about having a deep team and having rotation is that you have a good deep team and rotation. The bad part about having a good team with rotation is that you have a good team with rotation, meaning it's impossible for us to know, and I think it's impossible for the players to know which four are going to be chosen in those given matches. And so I could see it being Aviles. I could see it being Luján. I could see it being Noah Allen. I could see it be Luján on the right. I could see it be Chelo on the right. I could see it be Ian Frey. And I have my, you know, what I think would be the best four, but that could be very different from Mascherano's. And so that is something I think is going to be
I think really Chelo lost his spot already, honestly. I think Chelo's coming in to help Frey with minutes and that sort of thing. That's what to me it looks. I mean, we'll have to see because obviously Chelo got injured. But
we'll see Wednesday. Yeah, that's one of the big questions. We'll have
to see. I don't know. I'm thinking about what the offense looks like, and to me, I really, really think that Fafa has to be in there for speed.
I agree.
Sure.
Especially if Tadeo's not in, the team is too slow.
100%.
I just don't know how. Look, this is how I'm looking at the team. I'm seeing Jordi, Allen, Maxi, Frey with Telasco. It has to be Telasco. Mm-hmm. It has to be obviously Brighton, Busi, Brighton Redondo, and then Fafa, right? But then it's like, I don't know. I feel like it's just too predictable. I feel like it's going to be too predictable. We're not going to be able to put in like LAFC are not going to let us through. Like, if they're going to play at all similar to how they played on Wednesday, they're just not going to let us through the middle at all. So, like, we're not going to be able to – they're going to want us to, like, do long balls. They're going to want us to do all of that because they know they're going to beat us because we don't have the fast players. The only fast player we have is Fafa. So, I don't know. It's hard. I mean, it's going to be hard. I mean, I would like to see Telasco always gets like a more central role and then Jordi Alba pushes forward. So that's how we play with the five up top, Jordi, Telasco, Suarez, Messi, Fafa. But I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. It's going
to
be.
Well, that's why you need speed out wide. I think that's what I
think. But we just weren't doing that. So, I mean, like if we change it up this time, then maybe it'll work. But we just weren't doing it last time.
This is kind of a wild card, and I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. But I wouldn't be surprised if you potentially saw Kremaski start in that midfield.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised because, you know, Bright, I think, is so great defensively, in all honesty, and is so takes up so much room that Mascherano might be saying, you know, we need to score two goals. We need to create a lot. I trust our defense. I trust, especially if Jordi goes up, you know, the back three defenders to hold it and Bright to be there, where I want Segovia and I want, or Messi or whoever, you know, in that position on the right. And I want Kremaski to push because I don't think Redondo will push, you know, Redondo or Bright, they're not going to push enough creatively on offense. Kremaski will, whether it works or not, it's a different question, but he will. And that, you know, we'll hopefully work to try and create lanes because Kremaski can score, can shoot, can put in good passes that would make LAFC have to move around. But then obviously it puts us in a very difficult position defensively where you only have really Yannick Bright as your you know, defensive midfielder trying to sweep up everything before it gets to that defense. But I don't know. I'm just saying it wouldn't surprise me if he tried something like that.
You would see a team with Kremaski, Bright, Redondo.
No, I would see it be Segovia, Bright and Kremaski.
And Kremaski. Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. You're making a big change if you're going for a more offensive minded player versus a more defensive minded player. But if we're having such issues with creativity and we're having such issues with, you know, goal scoring, it's going to be a low block. You need to have multiple lanes. You know, you can't just, like you said, have Messi pass to Fafa and then hope that he gets across to Suarez. Like, you have to have more options than that. And so, you know, I'm just thinking
because that's how we were getting through to Toronto yesterday in the second half, from what I saw from my angle. Like, there once Fafa was subbed on, that's all they were not all they were doing, but that was the majority of the play. Like, they would make a pass, whether it was Messi or whoever, Busi would make a pass into the half space, and then Fafa would just be like running out wide, and then they cross it in, and there'd be nobody there. I don't know if that's going to work against LA because you know they just like to play weird, scared, I guess, is you could say, but yeah. It'll be interesting. I like to. I don't think
it's gonna happen, but I'm just saying you never know.
But I think it's a fair thing to say though, because Kremashi is somebody who can be there to press. He has that engine in him. He can run around. He'll have that stamina and
he can create. He can create good. He can make good assists. He has good vision in the box, I think.
Sure.
But you know, what do you think, Gian? You think that's super far fetched?
I think that I don't think LAFC is going to necessarily park the bus. I think that they're going to obviously be a bit more defensive, but I think that they're looking more to be a little more balanced. So you got to be careful with how many people you throw forward, because yeah. I think Inter Miami, especially when they've have Alba so high, they need to make sure they got somebody or a couple of guys that can help the defense out on those quick counterattacks that LAFC can have. They've got some speed and they've got guys that can handle the ball well and can put in good passes. So I would just be careful with that. I don't think it's far-fetched, but I think that Redondo, I don't think Kremaski brings that much more from – they're just two different players, but I think that you need what Redondo brings, especially if Busquets is in there, is what I'm saying. Because Yannick Bright's role, with whether it's with Redondo or Busquets, is going to be the same. But then you completely lose the guy that's supposed to connect the two lines, right? The defense, right. The offense. Busquets is that guy. If Busquets isn't that guy, then who is it going to be? You think it's Telasco? Telasco needs to help up front too. Like, I think that's going to...
No, I agree, yeah.
I really think Redondo is going to be that guy that plays that Busi role, and he's good with the ball. I mean, he's not there on offense, but he's really good, I think, at finding players and connecting those two lines. He's got good vision. He slows the game down a little bit too, just to make sure he finds... So, I don't know. I don't think it's far-fetched, but I really think it's Redondo. Like, I'm like 90.
Yeah, 90%. I am too. And if Busquets wasn't, if Busquets wasn't out for the game, it would never be a conversation about who would be it, right?
It's over Fafa, I think.
Yeah.
If he does.
Maybe. I don't know. It's going to be quite a game, because I really do not know how Mascherano is going to line up in terms of which players he's going to, there's a few definites. There's a few things that are unknown. And again, this isn't just a game where we can, we have to be front footed. We have to score twice. So it's not, it is a different game plan than the previous matches. It is. It's a game where you have to score two goals, and that comes with risks. And so we'll see how he plans to take those risks, right? And how does that actualize?
You got to be careful with how risky you go, though, because we didn't get an away goal. That changes the game completely. Like, if we would have gotten an away goal, then you can be a bit more riskier, right? But, dude, you can't be that risky where you're just going to go full out offense and LAFC scores, God forbid, then things, man. Then it becomes, then you got to score three goals. You just went from having to score two goals to three goals against a team that you didn't even score one goal against with this offense that doesn't look that good as of the last two games. And we'll see if you even have Tadeo. Like, that's a tall order to ask for a team to score three goals on LAFC. So I think he's going to go, if I could guess what Mascherano does, I think he goes in with a semi like safe route where he's just going to have Messi, Suarez. We'll see if he has Tadeo. If not, he'll have Kremaski maybe over Fafa. And then if things aren't going the right way, minute 60, all guns are blazing. That's what's going to happen. Right. Throw Fafa in, maybe Taylor, maybe, bring
maybe
in
even Obando if he gets more confidence. Obando,
bring in the speed. But I think he's going to go in semi safe because it's 1-0. You can't let them score a goal. You need to have two guys helping out the three quote unquote center backs when we're on offense. Like,
right.
You can't. So I think it's safe, and then all guns blazing in minute 60 or so if nothing happens.
Yeah. I don't disagree. I think it'll be interesting. Again, it really will, because you can't be 100% sure either way how it's going to go. We can think, but we don't know yet.
I mean, the positive you can take out of this is that it'll be unexpected for LAFC, I guess, in a way, right?
Like, they won't know what's coming. For us, it'll be unexpected for them, for sure.
They won't know what's coming. Yeah. And LAFC are also coming off a loss against Houston. They played Houston. They lost 1-0.
We demolished, yeah.
Yeah, so.
So, agreed. Well,
I just envision a world where Tata calls Mascherano and he's like, Have you heard of the 352?
Have you heard of what was the AKA?
Yeah, what is that? I forgot who that was anymore.
Oh, that was
Aviles,
Christoph, and Allen, I think.
Allen, yeah, yeah. That was back in the days.
Good back in the AKA. Day.
That's what we called it.
Yeah, that's well, funny. Anyways, you know, this is what we live for as sports fans. I mean, I think we all wish this was an easier one where we had maybe gotten the lead or at the very minimum tied last week. So this game wouldn't be as stressful, but that's live sports and that's what makes it so great. And so
to bring something up actually, because I feel like we're probably coming down to the end of this episode, but I wanted to bring something that I've been thinking about lately and I really want to get your guys' input. And those that are listening would probably be, this could be kind of controversial in some part or there, but okay. For me, this team was built for this moment. They were built not to win another supporter shield or to be awarded a supporter shield. This team wasn't built for a Leagues Cup. This team wasn't built for a Mundial de Clubes because let's be realistic. While it would be beautiful to win it, I mean, you have teams like Real Madrid in there. This team was built to win an MLS Cup and to win Champions Cup. That's what this team was built for. If they get eliminated against LAFC and they don't move forward and they don't win the Champions Cup, is the only way that this season would be seen as successful if they win an MLS Cup? Is that the only way that this or is Champions Cup already, there's no way to kind of salvage this season? And one more point before you guys answer. Winning a supporter shield and winning League Cup, to me, is a failure if you don't win at least MLS Cup or Champions Cup. Go.
I agree. I half agree. I think if you need to win one of them, I think. Yeah. Like, obviously, if we don't win the Champions Cup, if we get eliminated, I'd be incredibly disappointed. And I'd say this team has a lot of work to do and has to really figure it out. But and if that happens and they win the MLS Cup, then I still think a successful season, each season we're building. If they win neither, I think huge, huge disappointment, huge, huge problems, needs to have even more off-season changes.
Huge failure.
Huge. I agree. It's a failure. If we don't win either of those tournaments, I think it's a failure. I agree. You know, playing against Real Madrid and Bayern, like, okay, we probably won't win that one. But I think that's fair to say at this point with these players and this depth. I mean, this is, you know, this is season three for Suarez and Messi and Busquets and et cetera. And they're still playing at a high enough level where they need to get one of the big two for sure.
Yeah. And I'm just asking this because, Matt, before you answer, just to add to how important I think that this game is and that we probably all believe this game is on Wednesday is why I'm presenting this.
I completely agree. If we crash out of the Champions Cup, like that is terrible because this pathway that we've been given to reach the Champions Cup final, I feel like it's just been like given to us on a platter. Like it's been so, I don't want to say easy, but like it's been very manageable, very winnable to just go through. I mean, we had Sporting Kansas City, we had Cavalier. LAFC is probably the toughest opponent that we have until the final. Yeah. And for us to crash out in this manner of not playing like the Inter Miami that we're known to be is an absolute failure. If we lose here, we win MLS Cup. I think it's a good season because I think it'd be fantastic because we won MLS Cup. And then we'll work up for Champions Cup next year. If we crash out of both, that is an ultimate failure. I was going to say disappointment, but it's like worse than disappointment. It's like, it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable to crash out of both.
But I believe in this team, actually. I believe in this team much more than I believed in last year's team.
Yeah. No, oh, absolutely. No, definitely. And that's why we have so high expectations of them, of winning both, because we have significantly improved in quality of players since last year, which is not something that a lot of teams or any team can say in the MLS. And so that's why we have this high expectation. That's why we're expected to win both. If we don't win both or either, and we only win, or let's say we win like the supporter shield again or Lee's Cup again, I think it's very
bittersweet. Or even both.
Like, or even both. I think it's very bittersweet. Like, sure, I'll be happy because it's a trophy, but like, yeah. I'll still be like, it's not MLS Cup. Like, it's not.
Yeah. And I agree that this team can go all the way. They should go all the way. And that's why this game on Wednesday is just so important. It's this season.
I'm excited for it. Honestly,
riding on it. Yeah.
Nervous, but excited.
It is going to be a great game. I think it'll be a really good game. And this would prepare, because this is a huge challenge for Inter Miami. It's a big challenge. Yeah. If they're able to get this through, it just primes them even more to be ready to just get to the final. Like, this is a huge game for them.
Huge. No, great. This is big. You know, we've had adversity early. This is adversity. And this is, you know, this is like championship TVD. I feel like that's probably an American term that I don't know. They know as much from some of our audience, but like, you know, in NFL and football, like for teams that win the Super Bowl, they're always like, what was that moment in the season that had them all rally and become what would then become the champions, right? Like, like, what's the start of the championship TVD? This is the start of the championship DVD for Inter Miami. Wednesday's match is the start. And man, I'm excited. So with that being said, let us give our predictions. And we just not necessarily lineup, because I think we all talked enough about what we think the lineups could or couldn't be. A little bit of you know, options there. But score predictions. And then please in the comments, let us know your score predictions too. I'll start. If you guys are okay with that.
Please.
Of course.
3-1 Inter Miami.
Oh my God.
I think 3-1. Inter Miami are not going to, they are going to win this game, and they are going to show that championship DVD mindset. That's going to be my phrase for the season, because, you know, honestly, and I truly mean this, seeing how animated Messi was last night and how he was so elated when he scored and he was so angry when the game ended, that gives me a feeling at like the pit of my stomach where I'm like, he has expectations of greatness this season. He wants it. He's built it. He's ready for it. And that will trickle down on this team, and knowing the stakes and knowing the depth and what we have available, I think they'll do it on home soil. I think they'll do it. And so I think they're going to win. And I think they're going to obviously score at least two more goals, but they're going to win.
You completely stole my prediction.
3-1.
That I was going to predict 3-1. I thought it was going to, I'm like, I have like this Cinderella story in my head. It's not like a Cinderella story, but it's just like, it's very dramatic. This dramatic story ending in my head where, yeah, we're down, we're going into the game in our home soil, we're down 1-0. We need like a dramatic win to go through the next round, and then they score first. LAFC score first, and then we just put 3 past them.
I don't want LAFC to score first.
No, but like, you know what I'm saying, like just something dramatic like that. Yeah. I think Wednesday is going to be super, super dramatic. It's like we said before, it's going to be a final, and I think a 3-1 prediction, I think, is not even something. It's just something we need. We need that. Yeah, we need that score line. Right. So if they score, we're going to need to put 3 anyway. So I'm going to side with Ashley on a 3-1 win for Inter Miami.
3-1's a heart attack for me. I'm not going 3-1. There's no 3-1. I'm going 2-0. To me, that has to be the score line. Inter Miami defense, I have a lot of confidence in
them. I like that better.
I really do. I have a lot of confidence in this defense. They've had a lot of clean sheets they played really good at LA, and they took a barrage a couple of times. I don't think Ustari is going to make the same mistake. I think Ustari is going to be better. I think he's been better. I've had a lot of confidence in him as well. And I don't think Inter Miami can afford to get scored on one time. I really don't. I think that becomes a totally different game. It changes the tactics. It changes the personnel. It just becomes so much more difficult. I think
if we score 3 and then they get 1 at the end.
That's different. That's different.
I can say when the goals will be scored.
But that's different. But if they score a goal early on, if that one goal that you guys are talking about comes early on, especially if we go down, that is just, I'm not ready to experience a game like that. I don't want to. And I don't think this team wants to. So it's got to be a clean sheet and Inter Miami is going to get the two goals that they need to move forward, the minimum, the two goals. And really, like, I don't want to be pessimistic here, but this is a team that's not going to have Busquets. We saw that this was the biggest, to me, the biggest reason why they didn't move on in last season in the playoffs, because they were missing Busquets. I know this is different. It's not the playoffs, but he's a player that's going to really help on the offense. You don't know how Tadeo is going to be, if he even gets minutes. I don't see this team, not that I don't see, they're capable of it, but it's going to be difficult to score three goals. I'm sorry, guys. I'm being
real. Shanamo, Gian, come on.
I'm 3-1. All right.
So I'm going 2-0.
We need to believe.
And YouTube comments, bring it on. There's a couple of you that anytime I say something like this, I'm waiting for it. I will read them and I will respond. 2-0. I believe in this team, but I'm also realistic, guys. I got to keep it grounded. So 2-0.
All right.
Vamos Inter.
Vamos Inter. Okay. Well,
wait. Just because I don't want anybody, before they say I'm a hater and all that, hold on.
You a hater? Never.
See?
What's he going to get?
Oh, wow. Vamos.
You pulled up the towel.
Girl, we know you're an Inter Miami fan.
Oh, I have that too. I forgot about those.
All right. Bring the YouTube comments.
Screenshot this. Okay, I think on that note, we are ready. Big game ahead. Let us know what your predictions are. Thank you so much for watching this episode of Messi & Co. I'm Ashley. That is Gian. That is Matt. And we will see you next time.
Vamos Miami.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine & Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.